Better off than have done this.
You're listening to Fancy a Brew Podcast with Aaron and Lucy. Email us on fancyabrewpod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for Fancy a Brew Pod.
Hello and welcome to Fancy a Brew Podcast. We are very sorry for the mega delay in coming back with a new episode, but here we are in February 2020. A lot has happened and we're here to tell you all about it. My name is Lucy and I'm here via Skype with my lovely pal Aaron.
And
hello. Oh, there we go. We're a bit rusty, aren't we? So yeah, so we've got lots to talk about. You might have seen on our Instagram that we took how many months was it?
Probably about a nine-month break, I'd say.
Don't think it was quite that long. But in that 9 months, I had a baby. So I had a baby. She came 4 weeks early. So it all kind of happened when we were not least expected it. We knew that she was going to be an early baby. But she joined the world a little bit earlier than we thought she might. So that was a bit scary. And Aaron has just been up to his usual tricks of being a high-flying, highfalutin HR training manager man.
Drunken whore, yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly it. So here we are. So this episode, I'm really just going to kind of fill you in on what's been going on since we last recorded, really, aren't we? So, and then we'll also do our what we learned since last time, which is quite a long time ago. So there's quite a lot that we may have learned.
I am, being the narcissist I am, it's usually all about me. However, it feels only right that we should start with baby Edie and... what's been happening in your life? Because obviously, you're a mum, you've got a house, you're a proper grown-up now.
Oh, it's a bit scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
So from sort of 6 months into the pregnancy, I was diagnosed with preeclampsia, which means that you have like, high blood pressure, you're tired, and you get headaches, and it also means that the placenta hasn't grown properly, and it's not giving the baby enough nutrients for them to be able to grow properly. So she was quite small, and a lot of people didn't really believe that I was like 6 months pregnant because of my like bump was so tiny. And I was just kind of like, well, that's just how it is. It's fine. And you know, because me and my husband were both quite small babies. We were only like 6 pounds sort of thing. And then as things went along, I was going to hospital every day, used to have my blood pressure checked and Edie's heart rate and things like that. And I was on a lot of tablets to reduce my blood pressure. And it just kind of got to a point where my blood pressure wasn't coming down and Edie wasn't getting any bigger. So they came to the decision that she was going to come sort of there and then, really. So we had a sort of planned cesarean in that I knew that's what I was going to have, but I just didn't know when I was going to have it. So I was admitted to LGI in Leeds, who were amazing, on the 11th. And then on the 12th, they come around and, you know, like do ward rounds. And I was thinking, oh, hopefully they'll let me go home so I can, like, that was all I was really bothered about. Like, I want to be able to vote in this election. I want to do my bit and then we'll deal with what else is to come. And then the doctor came around and said, we're going to deliver your baby today and you're going to have to go to St. James's, the other hospital in Leeds, on the other side of town, because we don't have a bed in the transitional care unit for your baby. For you
the
and your baby.
Care unit.
Yeah. Like, well, that's what they called it. And I was like, right, okay. Yeah. Luckily, Jack was there and we had a case of stuff for Edie in the boot of the car. And the case for me obviously was there because I was in hospital anyway. So he drove to St. James's and I said, I'm more than capable of going in the car with my husband. That's absolutely fine. I'm not like falling to bits or whatever. And they were like, no, 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 you must go in an ambulance. I thought, okay, fine, I'll go in an ambulance. I can walk to an ambulance, can't I? And then the paramedics turned up to my bed with like a stretcher trolley thing for me to lay down on.
Oh my gosh.
It's so insane. Throughout the whole thing, like I did get the odd headache, the odd sort of symptom, but it wasn't like I had cracking headache all the time and I wasn't, you know, all of those things, they weren't happening to me throughout. So I felt fine, really, as fine as you can be when you're growing a baby. And I said to the paramedic, you know, I can walk.
When you're growing a baby.
It's true. I said, you know, I can walk, you know, that's absolutely, I'm happy to walk. And he was like, no, no, you're going in this, we'll get you there quicker. I thought, how slow does he think I'll walk? And so I was in this stretcher thing, like, you know, sort of strapped in, seatbelt across me, it was all a bit much. And then got to St. James's and they kept me in that stretcher thing, took me up to an antenatal ward and stuck us in a side room. And then they proceeded to give me about 6 different cannulas, or at least attempt to. I'm sort of covered in, like, I was anyway, covered in loads of bruises. And because when you have a cesarean, you're not allowed to drink anything or eat anything. So your veins kind of like close up a bit, so they can't get the needles in.
You know, I get that because I have high blood pressure. Yeah. So in the morning, if you go to the doctor first thing when you have your blood test, they suggest you get a drink, some water or something beforehand, because it's really hard to find your veins. So obviously it's not
the same. Exactly. Yeah, but it's the same sort of principle, because they can't get into your veins when you're not hydrated enough to like get it through. And then there was a point when we got into surgery where they had to put an arterial line in. Which was, it went into my wrist here. And he was like, it's going to really hurt, so I'm going to give you some local anaesthetic. And I said, that's fine. And then when he tried to put the line thing in, the pressure in my blood was so strong. Sorry, this is really gross. I should have prefaced it with, if you're a bit crazy, maybe skip forward a bit. But he put the line thing in, and the pressure in my blood was so strong that it pushed it back out, and it went all over it went all over his trousers and his shoes. And I was so dazed. He was like, oh my god, it's everywhere. And I was just like, yeah. concept of what was going on at all. It's really strange.
I've had that before where they've tried to, when I've done that, because my veins are so dry, they can't get the vein. So when they pull the needle out, it just squirts. Does the water, does the blood, yeah, like
that's like it. That was it. And it was like, woo.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was that. And yeah, so Edie came, it was like 6 minutes past 6 on the 12th of December. And she was £4.14. So she was really tiny, little teeny baby. And none of the clothes I bought fit her. They still don't. We've had to buy so much more stuff for her. Who thought, by the way? I had no idea. There was, you know, when you buy baby clothes, they're in like months, aren't they? So it's like 0 to 3 months, 6 to 9, so on. But you could get like newborn, and you can get like premature baby. But then you can also get first size, tiny baby, up to 1 month, up to 3 months. And it's like, it's so confusing. So you just have to go on like the weight. It tells you like, you know, up to whatever weight. But I had no idea when we were, you know, buying things for her. I thought, she can't, she's not going to be that small. It'll be fine. And my friend Rachel, bless her, went out and bought Edie like 3 outfits so that she at least had something to wear. The only things we had for her were like smallish baby grows. We still had to like roll the sleeves up and a pack of vests in tiny size that we thought we bought by accident. So they were the only things that fit her for like the first day of her life. We were so unprepared. But she came out and she was beautiful and, you know, had all this hair, and I can't really imagine her not being a part of our lives, even though it's only been 9 weeks. It feels like she's been here forever.
Oh.
But maybe that's the privation, I don't know. But, you know, she's wonderful. When she was born, because of the tablets that I've been on, she had to have some, like, liquid glucose to bring her blood sugar up. And that was all good. That's all sorted. But because she's also quite small, they had to put her on, like, a heated mattress thing in the, like, cot to, like, bring her body temperature up. So that was good. That they did all that. And then she caught a little bit of jaundice. So she had to go under this, like, UV lamp thing, almost like a little sunbed. And it sort of went over a little cot, and she had to be like just in a nappy. Also, another thing we weren't prepared for, the nappies we bought were all too big. So we had to go buy her like premature baby size nappies. And I'll post a picture of how small they are, because they are the tiniest. Compared, even though she's only in the next size up now, it's insane to think that they were like once just a little bit small for her. So, a little bit big for her, sorry. So she had to go into this little lamp thing, and she had to have these little, like, a little eye mask over her face so that the light, you know, didn't quite get into her eyes to help get rid of the jaundice. And she cried the entire time that it was on. And I cried the entire time that it was on. She's all good. We're home now. She has had her first lot of injections, and is, you know, being super cute downstairs, smiling away now, and drinking loads of milk and doing all the things that she. So yeah, it's really exciting. Nothing can really prepare you for motherhood.
No, people say to me all the time, "Do you want children?" And I'm like, jokingly, I mean, I don't really have any desire to have kids, but jokingly, I do say every time, "No, I like to have sleep and money." Now, have you actually slept?
Well, yes and no. So the first sort of 6 weeks of her life, 7 weeks of her life, Jack and I did like 3 weeks. He did 3 weeks of being on the night shift, and I did 3 weeks of being on the early shift, and then we swapped. So there was a point where she was waking up every 3 hours for a feed, whereas now she still kind of does that during the day, which is absolutely fine. And then she sort of falls asleep around midnight, wakes up at like 4 or 5-ish for about an hour, and then goes back to sleep. So we just alternate who does that night feed, and then that person gets to sleep in. So it's not ideal. But I'm led to believe, and whether it's true or not, I'm led to believe that after 12 weeks, it kind of gets a bit easier. So I don't know if that will actually be the case, really, because she was early, so she might take a bit more time to catch up, or whether, you know, it's just bollocks. But we'll soon find out, because, you know, she's 10 weeks next week.
What could be worse as well, it's probably good that you had a cesarean, is that one of the guys in my team, his other half had like a grade 3 or a grade 4 tear, so she was bedridden and she couldn't actually get up. So he was having, I've never seen somebody look so knackered.
I can't even tell you. I mean, I wasn't prepared for the recovery from a cesarean. I didn't really think about it. I didn't really know much about it. But it's, you know, obviously they cut you sort of above the bikini line to get the baby out. So your core muscles are all just like non-existent for the first couple of days. So like, yeah. I couldn't sit with the gastric band.
Into a muscle. They said it's like having a cesarean, but just a bit higher. When the muscle starts to form again, and it's like you're being stabbed, and it's just that.
Yeah, it like pulls, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, what's going on there? But
I was just walking around the office like this, holding myself. People like, what? Yeah, just the muscles reforming.
That's what I was like, walking down the wall, just like holding my stomach. I'm really grateful for everything that we had and all the support that we got. We obviously wouldn't have been able to get through without it. And I can't imagine having to be in a position where, you know, you need to pay for that kind of thing. And,
it's
just crazy. And so all the nurses were incredible and the doctors were amazing. And it's just been, you know, it's one of those experiences that we'll look back on and we'll just think, how on earth did we get through that? But you have to, don't you? You just have to get through it.
And then you're like, let's have another.
Oh, God. Oh, you know what's scary? When you're in hospital, you get like a midwife will come round when you're like getting ready to leave to like discharge you and goes through like loads of little like notes and things like maybe about your medication or about, you know, like things to be aware of with the baby. Like if this happens, do this, that, you know, like that sort of thing. And one of the things she said was, you're incredibly fertile in the first 3 weeks of, you know, having a baby. You're incredibly fertile, so if you have sex, make sure you use protection. And I was like, have sex? There is zero chance that that is going to happen for the foreseeable future. Not a chance. I love Jack, he's wonderful, he's been amazing, but like, no, it's not happening. It's just not happening. No. She was like, you know, have you thought about what contraception you might want to use? And I said, yeah, a baby. Like, I don't, she's enough. Do you know what I mean? Just like, you can't go anywhere without her. You're not going to put her in a room that you're not in. You can't, like, be on your own without, you know, she has to be there. You know, she's not big enough to go into her own room. You can't leave her on, like, how people do it? I don't even know. I can't even find the words. I'm so like incredulous about it. We went to the GP on Tuesday for the postnatal check and she said the same thing. And I just thought, no way. Absolutely no way. No. No.
No. So no then. I think that's a no.
My nana asked if we were gonna have another one. I was like, I haven't even like, she's fresh out of the oven. I don't even know what planet I'm on, never mind if I want to have another kid. Like, insanity, absolute insanity. So, you know, that's going well.
have you actually slept though, or are you?
No, I have slept. Actually, last night I had a bit of a headache and I was worried I was getting a migraine or something, which is just horrible, isn't it? So Edie, bless her, went to sleep at 11 o'clock. And I was like, good. So I went to bed then, and then Jack finished work at 2. So he did the like mid morning feed, but Edie decided to take that as that it was morning. So she was up for about 3 hours, which she doesn't normally do. So, but I got a lot of sleep. So while I feel quite tired still, because I think that's just how you feel now, I feel a lot better than I did do. So
it's often just like a permanent state now, just like,
yeah, you're just a bit fuzzy and then sometimes you go a bit thick. People say it's baby brain and I don't think it is. I think it's just lack of sleep. you just go a bit thick. Like I say that I know what I mean, but I say the wrong thing. So even like on a text or like verbally, I'll just type things wrong, but I'll know what I mean. Like Jack keeps referring to Edie having had 5 litres, when he means 5 ounces.
Oh, damn, that's a lot to drink.
I know, it's a bit bigger than her. But like, I just, every time he says it, I'm just like, you know, you're at a point where you know what he means, but you're not going to like pull him up on it anymore because what's the point?
Yeah.
You're both just like, yeah, yeah. But, you know, I'm asking stupid questions. I asked Jack what the animal was on Bullseye the other day.
Nice. To be fair, I thought Sebastian the Crab was a Scottish lobster.
Oh, did you?
From The Little Mermaid.
I can see why you would think that.
He doesn't sound Scottish.
No, he doesn't sound Scottish. But he could look a bit, he looks a bit lobstery, doesn't he?
Looks a bit lobstery, yeah. Yes.
What else have I done? Oh, there's a programme on Channel 4, isn't there, called Escape to the Chateau, and there's a man on that called Dick Strawbridge, but by accident I called him Stick Drawbridge. now it's all I can do. Whenever I hear it, I just laugh to myself and I think I'm hilarious, but I'm really not. Like, I cry laughing and I think I'm going to wet myself because I'm that delirious. But there
it's
you go.
It's when you start having, like, jokes with the baby. That's when you know you've...
Oh, already there.
When you have, like, full-on conversations and the baby's just like, I need boob and poo. That's
the way. Yeah, well, that's it. We'll just have a little... She's starting to make, like, little noises. So Jack and I are going for a meal on Sunday, tomorrow.
Nice.
And we're having our first sort of evening away from Edie, and his mum and dad are coming to look after her for us, which will be very nice. I'm not entirely sure how we will talk about anything that isn't baby-related.
100%.
Genuinely, I have nothing to talk about. My life is just baby. But
which is fair enough.
So, with that in mind, what have you been up to? Please talk to me about non-baby things.
Well, my life is pale in significance comparable to a baby. Mine's a
year of
men problems, weight problems, work problems, drink problems.
All right, okay. Where do you want to start?
Should we start with the weight, actually?
Yeah, let's do it. Look at you. So we're video Skyping at the moment, and you look incredible.
I know.
You do, honestly.
Do you think?
I haven't seen you for, God, when did I see you last? It must have been like the summer.
Yeah, about 9 months ago. I think we the last one in May, didn't we? And we didn't release it till like September.
It was very tiring growing a baby. It's all my bad. But
you were pregnant and we were both busy, so
yeah, that's it.
So I'm almost just about 47 kilos lost.
Wow.
I think it's about 8 stone.
Oh my god.
So I want to get to 50 kilos by my birthday, just after my birthday, because then that will be 50 kilos in a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So let's go from 50 kilos is in stones. Thank you, Xiaomi. 7.87 stone is what it is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I know, right?
How are you finding it? I know you're peckish, but...
I can't stop eating chocolate and crisps. Chocolate and crisps go down really easily.
Really?
Oh my gosh, like you wouldn't believe. I had a whole big bag. Those new massive Wotsits. Are amazing. I need to get out of that habit. My portion sizes. Have we been out properly since I've had the operation? My portion sizes are tiny.
You came to my house, didn't you? And I made that chicken salad thing, and I made you like a normal portion, and you had maybe like a third of it, and it was like pulling on your side bit.
Yeah. I must have like a nerve that it rests on. I can generally, so for breakfast, they do like a 5-piece at work for a pound. So it's like two pieces of meat and like three veg, like, so I can have like a sausage and a bacon and eggs and mushrooms and tomatoes. And I generally get through, I've stopped doing it now, I can eat about a third of a sausage, story of my life, a mouthful of egg, and then I'm done.
Wow.
Breakfast, I generally have two boiled eggs for protein in the morning. The sweets and stuff at work are too cheap, and then at lunch I might have like a pack of nuts or something like that, or some granola and yogurt. And then for dinner, it's this is how sad it is. It's eight gnocchi, as in eight of gnocchi.
Yeah.
With the teeniest portion of minced beef and a bit of tomato sauce with loads of cheese on the top.
Oops.
Yeah.
You make it sound delicious.
Try and make the best out of a bad situation.
Yeah.
But no, it's possibly the best decision I have made in a very, very long time. I think probably the best decision I've made since making the decision to move to London years ago. There were only two people who told me not to do it. One of them was subtle. my manager was like, are you sure it's the right thing to do? Are you sure? And now she's like, look how amazing you look. I'm like, yeah, I know. So the only other person was Sergey was like, easy way out, blah, 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 blah. So
I don't think it's the easy way out at all. People say that about having a cesarean. Believe me, it's not the easy way out.
My mum had a cesarean with all three of us. So
nothing easy about it.
She's got a bone or something in the way, so she can't naturally give birth anyway.
Okay.
In the way. I think when my brother was born, he had the cord wrapped around his neck as well, so he had... Yeah. I'm almost like within a hair's breadth of 50 kilos, which means that would have been... I'll have lost a third of my body weight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Just,
I know, right?
So hang on, when did you get it done? Was it last
16th.
April? Wow, so that is... By the time that comes around, you probably will have lost like a kilo a week.
Yeah, so
first... get to 52.
Oh, God, if I can get to like 52 or something like that. My ideal weight and height, I'm supposed to be another 35 kilos less than I am now. Okay. I think I'd look awful. So my ideal... Yeah. So when I started this, I was 25 stone. I'm now almost 17 stone. But my ideal weight is like 11 and a half, 12 stone.
You won't look like you.
Could you imagine how emaciated I'd look?
Yeah.
I've still got a belly, but I've gone down... I keep buying new jeans every week, so I've dropped from a 48-50 jean. These are a 36.
My God.
I know, right? And they're skinny.
Can you imagine?
But they're in elasticated way, so they're not really 36. But
that's all right.
It was the best decision I've made. And I have so many people message me on my Instagram fat account, previously fat account. And quite a lot of people say, you know, you're an inspiration. It's helped me. I've decided I'm going to have this operation too. Can you give me loads of advice? And I get maybe three or four of those messages a week from different people.
Wow.
Which is quite nice. And they're like posting, you know, it's great to see this positive outcome. I'm like, oh, you know, I did it for myself more than anything else. But it's nice that people are using that as a way to get the operation. It's not easy. I'm not going to pretend it is.
Imagination. Nothing worth having, it comes easily, does it?
I think when you make a big, massive life change, like, you know, restricting what you can eat or, you know, having a baby, there are certain consequences that come with it that you didn't anticipate.
Yeah, exactly. There's things that you just don't expect that's going to happen. And, you know, with becoming a parent, it's pretty much all of it, you know. You kind of think, this is what it's going to be like. She's going to do this. She's going to do that. It'll be fine. But then you don't sort of think about, actually, I'm going to be fucking knackered when I'm doing all this stuff. Yeah. You know, that just goes completely out of the window. And so even, like, the smallest thing seems so big. Even just like getting yourselves out of the house, like now, you know, I've got to pack a bag for Edie. I've got to make sure she's got a change of clothes, nappies, nappy bags, wipes, bottles, because I'm bottle feeding rather than breastfeeding. So
yeah, my mum didn't breastfeed us either.
I don't think I was breastfed, to be honest, either. So, and yeah. it kind of helps because it means that Jack can do a night feed and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I was confused when you said that.
So it just makes it a bit easier.
Situation, you know, when he becomes quite effeminate and he tries to breastfeed Stewie, just and you just see the baby just pull a hair out of his teeth and look up.
It's so funny that you say that, because sometimes when she's really hungry and you hold her to the side, she'll like look at your boob, you know, that sort of area, and she's like. Like getting ready to sort of latch on, and Jack, she did it to Jack the other day, and he's like, "You'll not get anything out of there, Edie." But she was like, looking at him, really confused. But you know, it's been really handy actually. I sort of beat myself up over the fact that I wasn't breastfeeding, but
really?
You know, yeah. Well, you know,
pressure, isn't there?
There's pressure from, you know, just society, and then the doctors all tell you that's what you should be doing, and, you know, you hear all that sort of stuff.
I think the thing is that everybody makes it up as they go along.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody will give you what's been right for them without, you know, this is the best way of doing it, but that's actually the best way that's worked for them, not necessarily
exactly
for you. But yeah, no, so I'm hungry all the time. And then when I eat, I'm like, ooh, and then it comes straight back out. So
yeah.
I've paid for bulimia, in essence.
Oh, don't
without,
say.
Without the acid. yeah, ex-boyfriend.
Oh yeah, that's the next one. That's the next one on the list. Yeah,
I've got a list. I have list.
Oh, you're a lot more prepared than I am.
So Sergey came at Christmas.
Oh yes.
Forced me to buy a load of clothes for him that he never gave me the money for. Initially, mm-hmm. It was really weird because like he's not an emotional person. He's quite the narcissist, as you are aware. You've met him.
Yes.
And he came back at Christmas and we went out for dinner. I went out with him and his best friend and her husband.
Oh, and yeah.
All I can say is I'm not entirely sure his best friend's husband likes him.
oh!
Yeah. Although I'm not sure he's aware of that. So we went out to Wagamama's for dinner and I had the usual that I could have now, which is just a teeny tiny little starter. And then it's kind of all over me. It was like cuddling me and like holding me. Just like, and this is just looked like really awkward, like, get off me. Like, why couldn't you have been this person a year ago?
Yeah.
And then the night after we were going out for my friend Salim, he knows like almost every gay man in East London. And he arranges this thing every year where like 50 or 60 gay men get together and have like a Christmas dinner. Christmas dinner because one, I used to be really, really fat and all these guys really, really slim. And as a gay man, there is a lot of pressure for that.
Mm.
But this year I actually couldn't go because I couldn't eat anything. So I met afterwards. So Sergey made me take all the clothes and stuff that I bought him. So I was out for lunch with my friend and then he made me go all the way to the Westfield in Shepherd's Bush, nowhere near where I live, to drop all this stuff off. And the first thing he said to me, I was like, I've just bought this brand new iPhone with all the cameras on it. So that in cash. So what, like £1,200. And the day after it was like a different person. It was like back to the person I knew before.
Right.
So it was all rude, cold, not very nice, talking to an idiot. It just wasn't very pleasant. So then we went out, and I rightfully was the centre of attention because I've just lost, at that point, I think about 40 kilos. Mm. So I know all these people, they're all my friends. He's just there as an extension of me as my friend. So then this guy was selling drinks, he was coming up the stairs, and he tried to dance with him. And he was like, film me, film me, film me. So I was like, okay. So I filmed him and this guy like looked at him as if like he was a piece of shit on the bottom of his shoe. Like, get out of my way. And then you could see he turned and looked at me into the camera and like pulled a face like, what's wrong with him? And I was like, then the rest of the night, this guy must have known that we were not together, but together, as it were. Mm. So he kept coming over and flirting with me and like taking his top off and selling me drinks.
Oh, la la.
And he didn't like that, so he left and he went home.
Oh, my now, God.
Supposed to be going to the Winter Wonderland on the Sunday. And so the Sunday afternoon, I gave him a chance to let me know what time we were meeting up, and he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I messaged him at, like, lunchtime and said, how are you feeling? Are you hungover? Because I really am.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, we're going for a walk. You know, I'm going to see how I feel later on. Okay, fine. Didn't say anything about Winter Wonderland. Then on his Instagram, they all went to Winter Wonderland without me.
That's so rude.
I know, how rude is that? So I messaged him on the Monday and I said, you know what? You're still not giving me the money for the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly rude that you didn't even bother to let me know that I'd been uninvited or disinvited. If that were the case, just let me know. Then I don't make plans to see you.
Well, that's it. You could do something else.
Yeah. And the first reply I got was, who have you been speaking to? Like, I don't have my own thought process. Like, I can't think for myself. And said, he was like, can I drop? Because he was bringing me some caviar that he was supposed to bring for my sister's wedding.
Okay.
And he brought it over with him. And I didn't believe him because he just kept saying he was going to bring it and he never did. So so he came over on the Friday night with the money. Wouldn't really look at me in the face. And then had this Christmas bag. And inside it was two tubs of beluga caviar.
Oh my God.
I was like, you're not making me feel guilty. I'm not feeling bad here.
Also, sorry to interrupt, but the amount of stuff you did for him when he lived here, and, you know, that's the least he could do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't feel bad. I mean, you know, thanks to your suggestion, I've now been in therapy for almost a year. Mm-hmm. And my therapist was like, how do you feel about that? I was like, to be honest, it was a closure I didn't get from the year before.
Yeah.
I'm not actually bothered. I messaged him New Year's Eve just to say Happy New Year because I was taking that caviar out to my friend's house.
Yeah.
And so just to say, you know, like Happy New Year and like thank you for the caviar type thing. Mm. And then when I was out of that Christmas, that New Year's party, I got absolutely hammered. Absolutely hammered. To the point where I couldn't speak by 11:30 and I went home. Just went home. Didn't tell anyone, just left.
Oh, French exit.
So I got, for some reason, right, the bus, ironically, it's the 69, goes all the way from Walthamstow to Canning Town, which is near my apartment.
Yeah.
For some reason, I got off in Stratford, right?
All right, yeah.
And it's New Year's Eve, so the buses are every 20, 30 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So then I got off, I was at the bus stop in Stratford, and this random guy was, like, crying at the bus stop.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, my dad's just died, and I'm all alone, and I've got nobody to talk to, and... And me, like, absolutely shit-faced. I was like, come to mine. Have you got a 12? Like, I don't even know this person. Got in an Uber. Come to my house. He came to my house, right? My friend's ringing me, like, where the hell are you? I was like, oh, I'm on my way home. Right, got here. I could have been, like, murdered or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
He went to the toilet, came out and said, I'm going to go and get some cigs. I was like, well, it's New Year's Eve, so nothing's open. But by that time, I'd sobered up a bit. And I was like, what the hell have I just done, like, the last time? So I was like, okay, off you go, bye bye. And then off you go. Make sure the doors don't slam me on the way out. Bye bye. So he left. And then 2 days later, this news article popped up about that guy in Manchester.
Yeah. Well, I messaged you about it.
Yeah. So he
talked about how mad it was.
Yeah. So that guy was getting drunken guys back to his flat who were straight and raping them. Yeah. Now, I was supposed to go on a date with that guy.
Yes, you said. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
When you said it, I thought, I mean, I know all gay people seem to know each other, but that is another level.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't believe. When you said it, I was like, Jack, oh my God, look at this. It was insane. Because I sent you it, the article of The Guardian.
And then I was like, do you know, he looks really, really familiar. And then I didn't think about it. And then a few hours later, I was like, oh my God, I was supposed to go on a date with him. We used to talk every night when I was living. Yeah, we used to talk on the phone every night.
That's insane. Yeah. My friend from uni wrote the article on The Guardian. And I always like to read his stuff anyway. But then I just was fascinated by that whole story. I mean, to look at him as well, you just wouldn't think... You wouldn't think it, would you? Like, so, just, you know, regular guy, seemingly, but all this stuff about...
It was a bit of a bunny boiler when I used to talk to him on the phone.
There you go.
So when I used to work in Leeds, I used to get up at like 4 a.m. because I was on pennies working in Leeds, that I had to walk to work and back, and it was like an hour and a half walk each way. And by the time I got home at like 6-7 o'clock on a night, he'd want to talk on the phone and I'd always fall asleep, and he'd get really angry and start shouting at me and like,
oh my God.
And I was like, and in the end I was like, do you know what? Don't want to meet you actually. And then ironically, 10 years later, he's gone to prison for being an actual bunny boiler, Yes.
Actual. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable, and it sounds like you made the right decision by not going on a date with them.
Yeah, yes. So I'm conscious we've been on the phone for a wee while now.
Yeah,
So I'm more happy we could actually record something and we could hear all about Edie, because I haven't met her yet, and when I do, I've got so many cuddles stored up ready to.
Don't you worry. she'll be ready, willing, and able to give you a cuddle back, I'm sure.
As long as she doesn't try and, you know, breastfeed from me, then it's fine.
She might not, Sean, but we can't make any promises.
Well, as you know, I've only got half a nipple anyway, so. You've forgotten about that, yeah.
Completely forgotten.
So the three bad things. It's hairy, there's only half a nipple, and I'm a man. So Paula, oh,
she's going to get plenty of milk out of that. Oh, bless her. Bless you. Oh, mate. So, this has been wonderful.
What have you learned in the 9 months?
What haven't I learned? It's been such a whirlwind. I was trying to think of something that I'd learned that wasn't baby related, but I literally have nothing else to talk about. A few days ago, someone I went to, I don't even know how that, so a friend of a friend, who's also got a little girl, tagged me in an Instagram post. You know, there's all these like Insta mums and stuff. And some of them are quite useful to follow for like bits of advice and support and to know that you're like not the only one. And she tagged me in this post and there was a line in it and it said something like, two people were born that day, you know, you and the baby, like you're reborn as a mother almost, like your everything changes. And say again,
sorry, my connection dropped, so carry on.
Hear that? it basically said two people were born that day, and you know, obviously the baby, and then you as a mother, your whole world changes in a way that I don't think you're ever prepared for. And just sort of seeing that and like hearing other people's stories and, you know, having that group of like mum friends has been really good. There's been, you know, there's five of us from the last place I was working who have had, or you know, have kind of speak, who have babies. The oldest one is like two, but the youngest is only like 4 weeks old, so we've got a nice mix of sort of newborns and toddlers and sort of in between. And it's been so nice to just message that little group and just say, you know, oh, she's doing this, like, is that okay? Am I doing the right thing? How do I fix this? Like, any advice on where to go for a day out? You know what I mean? Like, oh, for, you know, when I was thinking about breastfeeding a bit more, like, any breastfeeding in public, or, you know, like, what do I do when this happens, sort of thing. And I think without having that support, I don't really know, like, I would be even more delirious than I am now. So I think the thing that I've learned is that it's okay to ask for help when you need it. And it's okay to change when, you know, you need to change, and you've got to adapt, you've got to ask, and you've got to accept the help as well, which is not something that I'm particularly good at. But
could you promise me just one thing?
What's that?
You will be one of these obnoxious people who creates an Instagram account for every single moment. And tags like your baby in it, like baby Edie account. Like, you're like, follow baby Edie. Like,
oh my God. No, she's got a little hashtag so that I can look at all the pictures when
Edie
she's over.
Hashtag Edie Critch.
Yeah, that's it. Edie Critch. But no, there will be no Edie Critch Instagram account or anything like that.
Excellent.
Yeah, just, you know, the whole thing, what I've learned is that it's all a learning curve, and one day you might think you've got it all down, and then the next day it might all go to shit, and that's okay. So
yeah, and I think my thing I've learned is probably a similar thing, you don't get what you want unless you ask, I suppose, or you do something for it, because at work, I spent a lot of time not asking for stuff and not doing stuff. And then in the end, I'm just like, actually, if I say I want to do this, they can either say yes or no. Do you know what I mean? And the reasons why. Whereas if I don't do it, then I'll never be able to. I'll always look back and think, that wasn't really the greatest idea. Yeah. Not push myself forward a bit more. And I mean, look, almost 10 years in London, and I've got my own place. I've got a senior position. They pay me fairly well. And if I was back in Leeds, I'd be still waiting for a bus that was due to arrive 10 years ago. A horrible old northern train that's like broken down somewhere in Guys.
Tell me about it.
Awful. Can we make one New Year's resolution together?
Sure.
We're not going to wait so long for a new episode.
No, I will edit this one like sooner rather than later, I promise. We should also attempt to do this more regularly. And I think now we have this option to record when we're not together in a way that hopefully works, fingers crossed, quite well. Yeah. Then, I don't see why we can't do this on the regs.
Exactly. The pod is our oyster, as
indeed
it were.
It is. The pod world is our oyster.
Indeed it is.
It's been so lovely catching up.
It really has.
Really nice to talk to somebody about things that aren't where the next feed is, or if she's done a poo or not. So it's,
I mean, that's generally how I live my life anyway. who's going to have a poo? If people want to get in touch with us, I would say send us an email. We don't really check it. The best way to get hold of us is probably the Instagram. That's the thing we check the most. Yes. I did a little post this morning with the nun from Derry Girls.
Yes, I know.
I'm going to Derry in 2 weeks.
Oh, yes. Off to see a fam.
Yeah, and then I'm going to Paris for the weekend for my birthday, and then I'm going to Sofia for a weekend. So I will have lots to tell you. Yeah, I know. Actually going away, I keep saying I'm going to do it, and I'm doing it. So if you're listening and you're sick of our waffling, Fancy a Brew Pod on the Instagrams. Little Leeds Kitchen or Lucy Duffield, I think, is what you're still listed as, aren't you?
That's right,
Trains, because I train people, not because I love trains. at Previously Fat, which is, I used to previously be fat.
So, just works out on the tin, doesn't it?
And we promise not to to wait so long next time, because I've had lots of people messaging me saying, I've kind of run out of episodes about 6 months ago. Can we have a new episode, please? Oh. I was like, unfortunately, somebody has been very selfishly decided to have a baby.
I'm so sorry. So sorry, guys. But we're back. We're back. And we won't leave it as long as time.
You're no longer pregnant, but I'm still a drunk slut. So.
Oh, well, it's good there's a constant in our lives, isn't there?
Exactly. I'm happy to be that constant in our lives. Right. Thank you very much for listening. Lovely to see you, although people will only be able to hear us. But take care.
And you too. And we'll see you soon. Bye.